Chapter 13. Cody has his blaster up and aimed in a heartbeat, but even that is too slow. From a high ledge, through a curtain of strangling roots, a dark shape launches itself towards Anakin in a surge of muscle and intent. Cody's first shot misses, and by the time he can aim again, it's on the ground, a massive creature taller than Mace at the shoulder, with a whip-like tail and a surge of fury and hunger as it lunges. Anakin leaps it, lightsaber flashing into his hand and igniting, but the thing is faster even than him. It spins before he can do so much as land, teeth flashing. The blade of a purple lightsaber skims its hindquarters, carving a long gash into mottled skin. And the beast howls. It rounds on Mace, too fast to track with the eye, and the lash of its tail shatters the old altar. Kix shouts a warning and a blaster fires, but not at the beast swiping at Mace. At another one, just dropping from the same ledge, and Cody dives out of the way of its landing. If it sees him at all, though, there isn't so much as a hint. It leaps right over him, aiming for Anakin, as he drives the one harrying Mace back, then past him at fives, and Cody rolls up to one knee and takes a shot without hesitation. With a canine shriek, the beast skids sideways, hindquarters giving out, and Fives takes his own shot, ducks away. He flings himself behind Cody, then calls, "Another!" "Two more," Kix corrects. "Commander, the tunnel!" Eyes in the darkness are all Cody needs to aim, and he pulls the trigger. Fluid, ferocious, the creature bends around the bolt, leaping the last fall of stone, and catches the edge of Mace's cloak as he twists away just in time. Anakin curses loudly, parrying the other as it tries to grab him, and snarls, "What the criff are these?" The fourth lands practically on top of Mace, and he goes down, unable to answer. Cody sees flashing teeth, hears the snarling, aims. The beast howls half an instant before it's thrown clear, right into a wall with enough force to crack the stone. Mace rolls to his feet, grim-faced, and raises a hand. Stone rumbles, and with a burst of dust and chips of stone, the corridor collapses all the way, completely blocked off. Turning, Mace meets the snapping jaws of the one Cody and Fives wounded, and it slides around his lightsaber, sweeps its tail at him as he leaps up and over it. "Fives!" Anakin shouts, and Cody wrenches around as the beast harrying Anakin apparently decides it wants easier prey. It bounds right for them, and Fives curses, falling back. One of Kix's shots just misses as the thing leaps up, rebounds off the wall, and drops. It's right above them, and Cody tackles Fives out of the way, rolling to his feet and fires. The creature darts out of the way, too fast, too clever, and the lash of its tail hits Fives across the chest. It cracks plastoid like it's nothing, throws Fives back with a cry, and he slams into the wall and slumps to the base of it, perfectly still. "Fives!" Anakin leaps to meet the beast before it can close in on Fives, and the blue flash of the lightsaber blade carves a line down its side, makes it spin. It grabs for him as he twists out of the way, teeth skimming his sleeve, and Cody drops to one knee, takes two shots at it that connect, and then turns just as Kix fires again. A purple blade takes off the wounded one's head, just as Anakin's collapses, and outside, thunder practically shakes the temple. Cody doesn't move for a long moment, braced for another of the creatures to appear. But nothing happens. He scans the roof, finding nothing, checks the four bodies that are scattered unmoving across the temple, and then rises to his feet. Kix passes him at a run, heads for Fives, and a moment later Mace does as well, nodding to Cody. "Nice shot," he says quietly, and then crouches down to help Kix pull Fives away from the wall. Cody lets out a breath, almost amused, and asks Anakin, "You all right, General?" Anakin pulls his torn sleeve back, showing a long scratch down his wrist. "That's the worst of it," he says, but his gaze flickers back to Fives as Kix pulls his shattered chest armor off, and the line of his mouth is grim. "Carking hell, those things were fast." "Vornskers," Mace says without looking up. Two kicks, he says. Their tails are venomous, to stun prey. Kix makes a sound of relief, pulling out his scanner. Just knocked out then, he says, and his expression tightens faintly as the long gash down Fives' chest becomes clear. We haven't even been here for a full cycle yet. I'm gonna run out of Bacta at this rate. Those, Anakin says, were not Vornskers. They're twice the size, for one thing.
Not regular ones, no.
Mace glances up, raising a brow at him.
We are on a Sith planet, Anakin. They're chrysalids.
Anakin's expression twists, horrified and disgusted in equal measure. But Cody isn't familiar with the term.
They're what? He asks, frowning. Chrysalids.
Mace repeats.
Creatures heavily altered with Sith alchemy to be more dangerous and more intelligent.
He sits back with a grimace, wiping a trace of blood off his face, and says,
Vornskers hunt for sensitives. The Sith here likely used them as guards or hunters, and when the planet was abandoned, they adapted.
Force sensitives. No wonder they immediately went after the Jedi before realizing the troopers were probably easier targets. Cody blows out a breath, then asks, Can you sense them?
Kind of, Anakin says, eyeing one of the corpses. I think that was all of them, though. They must have followed us through the trees.
They were certainly fast enough to have vanished before Mace or Anakin could spot them, Cody thinks grimly, and eyes the sliver of trees he can see through the stalled door. The rain's only gotten heavier, the forest darker, and being somewhere protected seems better than risking the jungle when there's something out there that likes to hunt Jedi, but... Sith planet. Cody's thinking he's going to bump that up to the very top of his least favorite places in the galaxy list. They haven't even been here long. An impressive feat.
Rising to his feet, Mace eyes Anakin for a moment, then offers, You're all right?
Yeah, Anakin grimaces, clipping his lightsaber back to his belt. Thanks for the help.
We both looked equally tasty, I believe.
Mace says dryly, and lifts a hand. Two of the corpses lift off the ground, floating toward the door, and Anakin pulls a face but does the same with the remaining ones.
At least they aren't Rancors, Anakin says, determinedly light.
I used to have nightmares about chrysalid Rancors after I learned about them.
Katarns for me, Mace agrees with a grimace,
and as soon as the last of the bodies have dropped outside, he gestures. The doors slide the rest of the way closed, the red glow of the glass in the door fading, and he drops his hand.
My master told me about them on a forest planet, and I twitched every time there was a noise above us until we left.
Anakin makes an aggrieved sound of sympathy. Obi-Wan left stuffed rancor toys on my bed for a month afterwards. He said he was desensitizing me with cute versions. I wanted to toss them in the shredder.
Cody hides a grin, turning away, and checks that Kix isn't looking too frazzled. How long does the poison take to wear off? He asks.
Not too long, I think, Kix says, tipping his helmet at the scanner. It's working its way out of his system already, and the cut's not too deep. He'll probably have even more of a headache than before, but he'll be all right.
Been a rough mission for the new recruit, Cody says wryly, and slings his blaster over his shoulder, glances around, then up, and asks Mace, Is there any other way to block the opening up there?
Mace considers for a moment, then takes one quick step and leaps. It should be an impossible distance, but he gets a foot on the wall and a hand on the ledge, and then pulls himself up like it's a light little hop. Cody opens his mouth to protest, because going up there alone is not what he meant for Mace to do. But before he can say anything, Mace vanishes over the edge. Heart in his throat, Cody waits for a cry, a howl, for some sound of struggle. A rumbling sounds, pitched slightly lower than the thunder outside.
and the heavy beat of rain becomes lighter. Moments later, Mace reappears, dropping back down to land by the broken altar. "A section of the stones for the roof are cracked," he says. "I blocked the gap. It should be safer now." Not entirely reassured, Cody gives the collapsed tunnel another look, but he can't feel so much as a breeze through it. Reluctantly, he nods, then says, "Better than the jungle." "Yes," Mace says dryly. "I too prefer a roof over drowning."
Cody rolls his eyes at him, though he has to strangle a crooked smile. "If there are more Vornskers, will you be able to feel them coming?"
Which is a reminder that at some point he should sit down with either Mace or Obi-Wan and ask how things like that even work. Because at this point, he's operating on trooper stories and what he's managed to see with his own eyes. And it's unreliable at best as far as a full accounting of Jedi powers go.
Anakin looks at Mace, who looks back, and there's a pause that Cody doesn't like.
"Potentially," Mace finally allows. "If they're enough like regular Vornskers, we will." Left unsaid is that they might not be, if the changes are extreme enough.
Cody squashes the urge to curse and nods shortly, resigned to the danger.
"Then we'll need a watch. I need to stay up with Fives anyway," Kix interrupts. "At least until he wakes up. I can take first watch, Commander."
Cody closes his mouth, too smart to argue with the medic. Rex would, but thankfully, Cody's not Rex. He also doesn't have half of medical out for his head at any given time, which is probably related.
"I'll take the second watch," Anakin offers. And when Mace raises a brow at him, he shrugs. "I want to see if I can contact Obi-Wan or Ahsoka, and I can do that at the same time."
"Be careful reaching too far," Mace says after a moment. "I don't know how far we are from Korriban, but likely not far enough."
"Korriban?" Kix asks curiously. "Another Sith planet?"
"The Sith homeworld," Mace confirms. "Both for the Sith as a species and the Dark Lords that took over their empire in its waning years."
He pauses and then tells Anakin,
"The dark side will be strong here and will hide itself behind lies. Keep on your guard."
"Yes, Master," Anakin says grimly. Mace nods, apparently satisfied with that.
"If you need to, wake me. Two minds together can see through illusions more easily than one."
Cody doesn't care for the idea that there's some sort of invisible energy out there waiting to entrap the Jedi, but he supposes this is their business even more than battle would be. If they're not able to face it, it will probably eat them all in short order.
Forcing down the threat of unease, he asks Kix, "Got those emergency blankets?" Kix tugs off his helmet, then digs them out of his pack. "Only three," he says. "I need one for Fives, but..." He hesitates, looking from Cody to Mace to Anakin, and doesn't seem to know what to say. Amused, Cody glances at Mace to find him looking back, a flicker of humor on his face. Apparently, even ending up stranded on a Sith planet hasn't made their new status irrelevant.
"That's fine, Kix," he says, and takes one of the blankets. "Mace and I will share."
Kix gives him a look that's very close to alarmed. "Commander?" Anakin makes a pained noise and very pointedly turns away.
"It's perfectly acceptable," Mace says dryly, but his gaze is on Anakin, deeply amused. "We're married."
Kix looks like he has absolutely no idea what to do with that. His eyes flicker from Cody to Mace like he's waiting for one of them to declare it a joke. But Cody gives him his best, "CO is yelling at me and I have no emotions," face in response. Mace, of course, looks like he could be meditating in the temple or in the middle of a battlefield for all the change his expression shows.
It's mildly satisfying to see Kix so completely
utterly lost. The curve of Mace's mouth is ever so subtly amused as he passes, pulling his cloak and outer robe off. He spreads them out on the floor next to the pit of molten rock, and Cody hesitates, then starts stripping off his armor. His blacks underneath are only damp, but better to start tomorrow with everything dry than go into it soggy. If I didn't know better, I'd think you proposed to me just to torture General Skywalker, he says quietly, and Mace snorts.
It's a benefit I hadn't considered at the time, but I hardly object to it,
he returns, and Cody laughs. He considers where they can sleep, eyeing a patch of spreading moss, and tips his head at it in question. Mace studies it for a moment, then inclines his head in agreement, and lays down, setting his lightsaber on the stone above his head. It's a little odd to settle down next to him, close enough to feel the heat of his body. Cody has one awkward second when he doesn't know what to do with his limbs, but a hand curls around his elbow, tugs him back, and Cody gratefully lets himself be guided down, tossing the blanket over them as he goes. Mace settles behind him, chest to Cody's back, and it's fine. It's warm. Cody breathes through the strangeness of it. Not the careful distance of the shared bed in Mace's quarters, but close contact, and closes his eyes. He feels far too aware of Mace's breaths, his heartbeat, but he doesn't want to move away. The moss isn't a lot of cushioning, not against deep bruises from the crash, but Cody's fallen asleep in worse places. He breathes in, breathes out, and wills himself to sleep, the sound of the thunder and the rain distant enough to be ignored. They only have a few hours before they have to keep moving, and Cody's a soldier, knows to take advantage of whatever chances for rest present themselves. He sleeps, and he doesn't dream.
Master Windu, Anakin says, urgent. And Mace has his eyes open and is rolling upright before he's even fully conscious.
His lightsaber comes to his hand with a thought, the motion instinctive, and he rises, stops short right before he trips over Cody. There's no attack, or at least nothing physical. Anakin is close, looking mildly startled but unharmed, and Mace takes a breath, then carefully steps over Cody's sleeping form, leans down to straighten the blanket before it falls off of him, and asks quietly,
"Yes, Anakin?"
Anakin's gaze flickers from Mace to Cody, but he drags his eyes back with a will, expression sliding into something grim.
"I saw something," he says, "in the trees."
None of the troopers are awake. Mace casts a look over them, then inclines his head. Not an immediate threat, then. A Jedi sort of threat, and that could be far worse in the long run. Gesturing towards the front of the temple, where the door stands open, Mace raises a brow, gets a nod in return, and follows Anakin out through the gap, picking up his dry robes as he goes. It's far enough away to hopefully let Cody, Kix, and Five sleep, but not so far that they'll miss a danger if there is one.
In the trees,
he echoes, pulling on his dry robes and casts a glance at the dripping forest that surrounds them.
Here, or in a vision.
Anakin pauses, frowning, and then looks up at Mace with frustration on his face.
That's the thing, he says, almost angry. I can't tell. It felt real, but...
Mace frowns. But could imply many things.
What did you see?
He asks.
Qui-Gon Jinn, Anakin says, and meets Mace's gaze. I saw Qui-Gon Jinn walking in the jungle, and he told me he was trapped here.
Slow, cold, the words slip through Mace's nerves, and he carefully breathes through them, closes his eyes, trying not to show his reaction, and then asks quietly,
You were sure it was him,
Anakin scowls. You were the one who told me to believe in my visions.
Mace raises a hand to cut him off. Anakin, I believe you, but the Force here is strange. Are you certain it was Qui-Gon you saw?
It has to be, Anakin says, agitated, and turns away, shoving his hands into his hair. It felt like him, Master. He said he'd been pulled here, and his spirit was trapped in the ruins, and he needed my help to get free.
It doesn't feel right. Nothing about it feels like it's right.
Unease sits like a nauseous weight in Mace's stomach, and at least half of that is the thought of Qui-Gon's soul caught and held, pinned in place on a planet full of Sith ruins, but...
It sounds like a trap, he says, careful to keep his words perfectly even.
Anakin laughs, ragged. Why do you think I woke you up, Master? He demands. Master Obi-Wan said you were friends with Qui-Gon, so I thought...
Sentiment, Mace thinks, directed entirely at himself.
He keeps his spine straight with a will, eyes fixed on the trees, and tries to sort through what it is he's feeling. Horror, first and foremost. Anger, if it is a trap. And someone simply sent Anakin an image of Qui-Gon. Hope, in case it's true.
It's been a very long time since Qui-Gon died, Mace reflects. But it still aches. If it's not a trap, he says carefully, it likely means there are still active Sith practitioners on this planet to have captured a Jedi spirit. And if it is a trap, we have far more to worry about than that.
If it is real, we can't leave him here, Anakin says, a challenge. They have to be using him for something, and he's asking us for help.
Mace closes his eyes for a long moment, then opens them. Show me where he was, he says.
I was meditating out here, Anakin says. The rain helped, and...
Sirs?
A groggy voice asks, and Mace turns to see Fives on his feet, watching them with confusion. His hair, just slightly over regulation length, sticks up in strange clumps, and Mace feels a flicker of something soft that rises in his chest. Fives isn't Depa, stumbling out of her room after her first solo mission went badly. But for a moment, he almost could be.
Fives, he says. How are you feeling?
Fives blinks, then screws up his face and rubs a hand over his eyes.
Like that time Heavy snuck a bottle of whiskey into the barracks, he says, and then freezes like he didn't mean to reveal that.
Mace snorts softly.
A hangover from Vornskr venom is likely comparable, he allows. Be careful. Even small traces of it can affect your balance.
Yeah, I can feel that, Fives mutters unhappily. Thank you, sir. His black undersuit is torn, dragged down so Kix could work on his chest. Mace shrugs out of his outermost robe and hands it over, and Fives takes it gratefully, pulling it on. The pre-dawn wind is surprisingly cool, and there's far less humidity right now to ease it.
Master? Anakin prompts quietly,
and Mace inclines his head, following him down the steps of the temple. Somehow, it's no surprise at all when footsteps follow them. A little bemused, Mace slows enough that Fives can catch up without having to strain himself, but doesn't otherwise comment.
You saw him from the front of the temple?
He asks Anakin, who comes to a stop a short distance in, between two particularly large trees. There's faintly glowing fungus under the protruding roots, casting an eerie bluish light over everything. The flickers of scattered lightning still sparking in the sky don't help.
Right here, Anakin says, and nods at a section of ground.
He didn't leave any footprints.
A spirit likely wouldn't.
Mace closes his eyes, trying to feel the way the force bends here, and there's a strange feeling to it, a touch of brightness where there shouldn't be, trapped in the unsettling twists like an animal caught in a snake's coils. It's possible it feels like Qui-Gon's presence, but Mace can't tell through the unfamiliar shape of the force all around them.
"You certainly saw something," he says quietly. "However, I can't tell whether it was Qui-Gon."
Anakin looks grim, hands closed into fists, and he says abruptly, "I can't remember what he felt like. It was so long ago, and I didn't have any idea that what I was feeling was the Force then, so I can't tell." It sounds like he's blaming himself for that. Mace is all too familiar with the feeling.
"I hardly remember either," Mace says after a moment. "We were friends for decades. Time dulls everything, Anakin."
"Qui-Gon?" Fives asks, careful. "There was someone here? Someone you know?"
"Maybe," Mace allows. "A Jedi Master who died on Naboo a decade ago now. It was ascending of him, or perhaps his spirit."
"Jedi can see ghosts?" Five sounds like he doesn't know whether to be delighted by that or freaked out.
"Under certain circumstances," Mace says amused. "This one told Anakin he was in need of rescue, though."
Fives looks from Anakin to Mace, frowning. "That sounds a lot like a trap," he offers.
"Yeah," Anakin says darkly, "but I'm not going to let Qui-Gon rot on a Sith planet if it isn't."
"We have no direction to go in, and no idea who trapped him," Mace reminds him quietly. "If Qui-Gon's spirit is here, there are other things that suddenly concern us as well."
"It is him," Anakin says mulishly. "I can feel it." Mace doesn't bother pointing out that Anakin's certainty is what landed them all on this planet to begin with.
"The dark side works through lies and illusions," he says. "It has fooled the strongest, wisest Jedi in the Order. Despite your talents, you are just as susceptible as the rest of us to it, Anakin."
The stubborn slant of Anakin's mouth wavers for a moment.
"It felt like him," he says again.
"You don't remember what he felt like," Mace says, flat. "You just admitted as much. If our memories can be tapped, there's no way to be certain whether it is real or not."
He pauses, weighing his next words, and then says,
"Qui-Gon Jinn was a man who would have given his life in a moment to keep you safe. I find it hard to imagine that he would ask you to walk into danger for him, Anakin."
Anakin opens his mouth, pauses. "Maybe he knows I can handle it," he says bullishly.
"How?"
Mace asks practically. And there's something that feels hollowed out in his chest, thinking of Qui-Gon's soul kept from peace, but
sentiment.
It's sentiment, and very close to a blinding attachment that Mace refuses to surrender to.
"If his soul has been trapped here, how does he know?"
"You're just angry he came to see me instead of you," Anakin snaps, bristling. Mace watches him, long and steady, lets the words settle in the drip of wet leaves around them, in the growl of the thunder overhead, until Anakin pulls back slightly. It's easy to see the chagrin that crosses his face as he registers the outburst, and he swallows.
"Qui-Gon," Mace says finally, "was a dear friend. I would have welcomed the sight of him. Yes. But I know how much he meant to you, Anakin, and I would not begrudge you another meeting with him."
"Yes, Master," Anakin says, ducking his head. His expression is caught somewhere between anger and regret, and he turns away, stalking back towards the temple like he doesn't know how to react. "This," Mace thinks wearily, "is one thing he doesn't envy Obi-Wan for in the slightest. He'd had his doubts about Obi-Wan taking on Anakin so young. But Truly, very few other masters could have managed half as well, given Anakin's temperament. Five says awkwardly into the hush. It's pretty obviously a trap.
Yes, Mace agrees. On the surface, it might ring true, but contemplation makes it fall apart.
Which means it was the perfect trap for Anakin in particular, who has a tendency to rush right into things. Mace doesn't like that at all. It means there's someone orchestrating things, a mind behind them. Either the Sith Lord is reaching further than normal, or there's another dark side user involved. Then, suddenly something registers, and he glances at Fives again, standing there, looking out of place. Thinks of the Vornskers, the way they turned their attention to Fives, even with two Jedi in the room, and pauses. Weighs his own reaction to the trooper, with a slow curl of suspicion settling along his spine.
You feel it as well, he asks, and deliberately looks out into the trees. Something here is very dark, and I do not trust it, even if it comes wearing a familiar face.
Fives hesitates, frowning, and looks from Mace to the jungle beyond. It's creepy, if that's what you mean, he offers after a moment. Feels like there's always something watching us, you know?
Maybe just a soldier's instinct, but maybe not, Mace thinks, and inclines his head. It does, he agrees, and leads the way back to the temple as rain starts to fall again, light and misty over the treetops.